Save big money on your next project right now at Menards. Give your home an elegant look with Mastercraft pre-finished hardwood molding. Available in 5 pre-finished colors to save you time. Just cut and install for a simple upgrade to any room. Save big on all Mastercraft molding products. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, it is me here, your Spider-Pan, and I bet I sound very, very different today. How things have been going have been keeping me fairly busy, and I just really haven't had much opportunity lately to sit down at my normal studio desk and record. There's always something here, and so I figured, well, when I'm driving to work today, I can hook up this lavalier lapel mic, and I can get an introduction recorded, and my plan today is we still want to pay tribute to Dame Maggie Smith, John Amos, and I think there was a few others that passed away here this past month. And so we're going to pay tribute. But in order to do that, I need to have my other 80s junkie, Pastor Phil, up here with me. And so when I meet with him later today, because we have a meeting at the church, we're going to take some time after church or before church, and we'll sit down and record the other parts of the show. But I wanted to be able to get an introduction for you because I wanted to get some of our usuals in there. You'll have to ignore the sounds of my car. And I know normally we have much better sound quality than this, but you know, please bear with us. I'm trying to make sure I'm still getting a show out because I missed a week already as it was. Reasons why I missed that week, though, I was working very hard on editing and putting together and releasing the first 3 episodes of Watching Movies with My Pastor, which I kind of want to just call it maybe Watching with My Pastor because I realize there's probably more than movies we're going to watch. There's some TV shows I thought we could watch. But we're watching a lot of older movies, some retro, nothing really modern. We're going to, you know, dip back into the past. Probably even watch some old musicals that I haven't seen. This all came from the idea that Philip has a lot of movies that I haven't seen, and he wanted to film me watching them because he thinks my reactions are going to be funny and never put on camera. So, of course, he has an idea, and I'm the one that has to put in the work and the effort and the money. I've bought some green sheets that I'm going to use for green screening, which I have not put to use. We have one video up on YouTube already. On a new channel, Watching Movies with My Pastor. Go and check it out. Subscribe. You can watch us watching Field of Dreams, highly edited. So the other podcast has launched. There's 2 versions. There is the one that I put on broadcast, which is, for the most part, it's us only the talking, and I edit all of the parts that we're talking. But then I've got an exclusive version also available on the same Patreon. You go for this channel where you can actually, you'll be able to hear a little bit of the movie. I've got it turned way down, but you'll be able to hear if you want to watch along with us. And I thought that might be fun. And I'm also going to gather on getting a bit more information about the movies we watch and maybe discuss it as we go, some behind-the-scenes things. I think we need to put a little bit more effort into some stuff, but we want to be able to talk about some of the themes and spiritual content you might find in some of these old movies. So that is kind of my goal. There, I'm going to hit a few buttons on my thing to make sure I don't get like any weird extra static. And we're still picking up? Yes, okay. I better be watching the road and not my recorder. So what have I been doing other than that? I haven't really been watching, I guess, a lot of TV or anything like that, but I have been reading. I ordered and finally received my copy of a Final Fantasy VII book that's based around the remake style and universe, or however you want to call that. It was like two stories. I forgot the name of the book. This is, and you can find it on Amazon. That's where I found it. This was a book that had some backstory on Tifa Lockhart and Aerith Gainsborough, and also had a extra third story, which I actually liked better than the stories of Tifa's background and Aerith's background. Overall, though, it was an interesting story, but it felt like, well, each of the stories, and you get little cut-ins where during some of the events you might find around the beginning of Remake, or, well, Rebirth, really, end of Remake into Rebirth, and it's little asides that maybe were mentioned in the game if you played Rebirth. And, you know, you get like a tail end of a conversation, but this would be like, here's the entire conversation. This is a story that was related to with Tifa and Aerith talking to each other, or even talking to Red 13 and sharing some backstory. But I kind of felt as each story for Tifa's story and Aerith's story that it had like that, oh, here's the conclusion. And it's almost like they were giving you the solution to a mystery that I'm like, was there supposed to be clues to that's what this was all about the whole time? It just felt like, oh, well, we need to end this story. Here's the ending. Ta-da! Boom. It didn't feel like it flowed naturally. And I don't know if that's a problem with translation or just that's the way they write story in Japan. I mean, I have read another translated story from Japan where the Vampire Hunter D, they've made a couple of anime films of that, but they are based off a novel series, not a manga, a novel series. And I have read, I think, two of those. But I don't think that I had the same reaction of like, oh, there's the ending of the story. Okay, all right. Because, like, for instance, Tifa's story, it kind of moves you along, tries to get you caught up. Of course, you know some of the Nibelheim stuff. They don't want to spoil anything. But they want to get, okay, well, here's what happens after she's nearly killed by Sephiroth and she finds herself in Midgar, how she gets her life established in Midgar, right? So she's in a lot of debt for medical bills. And it's all a lot of story about her paying off that debt and working off that debt. And, you know, a few little side things kind of go on. She meets, like, the rest of Avalanche along the way, how she becomes friends with Jesse and Wade, and or Wedge and Biggs, not Wade, Wedge and Biggs and Jesse. She meets those three. So you get a little bit of that. But the way the debt is concluded is sudden and like, what? Wait a minute, what? And it seems like they're trying to indicate, oh no, we were trying to clue you that this is what was actually going on the whole time. And I'm like, really? Okay. And the same with Aerith's story, which, you know, if those who've been listening to the show for a long time know, I'm a big Aerith fan. I've got me some Aerith figures I've purchased that I have on my desk, along with all my He-Mans. I still have more Spider-Man and He-Man figures than I do Aerith figures. So I haven't gotten that far off the deep end, I guess, even though my wife probably thinks I did. Because the Aerith figures were rather expensive, but they're really nice figures. But anyway, so it's Aerith's story up from the time of her escaping with her mother as they were both being experimented on by Shinra, if you're familiar with these characters at all, and the story of growing up, how she gained the name of Gainsborough, because that is not her actual last name. I was hoping she would actually get a little bit of the story from her mother about who her father was, but I guess that would be a spoiler for anyone who hasn't played the original Final Fantasy VII game. The characters after Aerith's death in the original game, they do come across and you'll find records and you get to watch some video or whatever of Aerith's mother, Ifalna, and her father. And if you don't know who that is, I will not say anything. His name has been mentioned in the Remake games so far. But you have heard of Aerith's father, but you haven't gotten to meet up or find out what happened to him yet. And I would like to have maybe had that included in the book, but it wasn't. But you get a little bit of the story and what it's like to be Aerith and having to hide and how it is that she's not able to have any real friends. And it comes to a conclusion pretty sudden, but she kind of finds out that she's been a prisoner in her own home for a deal her adoptive mother has made with Shinra. I hope I'm not spoiling anything if you want to read this book, but you kind of find out how that all works. And it comes to a sudden conclusion. It brings back a character that is mentioned in Rebirth, but that from the beginning of the story that suddenly, oh, now we need somebody to do this. And it almost really doesn't make sense for this character to be this way. It was a very strange ending, and it just kind of ends. But then, of course, now we get a third story, which deals with another character that was friends with Aerith when they were little, and his mother was, you know, kind of their cleanup around their little home, apartment, whatever you want to call it, that they had in Shinra, where they were allowed to live. And the story deals with his mother was the cleanup person, and he was this little boy that was about the same age as Aerith, a little older. And so he was brought along, and was actually, he found out later, he was being paid to be a playmate for Aerith, you know, so she would have a somewhat childhood in the Shinra building, someone to play with, keep her busy while they were experimenting on her mom. And he is accidentally responsible for a time where Aerith starts drawing, kind of freeform drawing, showing that she has some indication of the powers of being she's only half an ancient. She's half of a normal human, whatever that's, that deal is, you know, for those of you that know. But she starts to draw, indicating that she does have the same abilities as her mother. And so they start experimenting more harshly with Ifalna, because they realize, oh, if you die, we still have a backup with your daughter. So this guy feels a lot of guilt about that and some other things. And it's about him basically trying to expunge his guilt. And by the end, it's got actually a really sweet conclusion that I actually enjoyed and made the whole story worth it. It does take a sudden shift to where, like, oh, you're trying to get rid of your guilt. You think this is what you're guilty about, but this is what you really feel guilty about, and you need to find this person. But I did actually enjoy that third story more than I enjoyed the two other stories in this book. But it is a Final Fantasy VII book. You can find it at Square Enix Books or on Amazon. If you do a search for it, you will probably find it. But I think it is worth reading. If you're a fan of the game series, I think you'll enjoy it. If you're a fan of the characters, so, you know, Tifa and Aerith are a couple of my favorites in those games. I think they're most people's favorite characters, and Aerith is my favorite overall video game character. So I enjoyed reading the book for that, and I just kind of devoured it. And now I've set aside an old Walt Disney book, one of the first Walt Disney biographies that was published by the reporter who frequently interviewed him. I'm going to try to sit and read that one next. But what have I been playing? The Epic Mickey Rebrushed game came out, I believe it's been a week now, I guess, and I've already maybe a little over a week, and I've already completed it. I'm putting videos of it's the first time I ever played it. I mean, I played it on the Wii, but I didn't finish it because I had a hard time with the motion control. So I've done a complete playthrough. I've got video of that, and I'm slowly posting it up to the official Neverland Gaming channel. So if you want to check that out, go over there, and you can watch, and you can see for yourself. Overall, some of the sounds sounded weird. It sounded like some of the sound effects were like underwater, but I think it was just Mickey's sounds mixed with he's like a paint splatter in a way himself. So when he does big movements, he's got this splooshy sound that he makes mixed with the woo, you know, his normal Mickey jump sounds. So he sounds a little weird. But overall, I did enjoy the game. I have thought I might come back and try to earn a platinum on it, although some things I couldn't figure out how to reach. There was one item to get to that in the original game, apparently there was like this air jet that would blast you up towards the item you wanted to collect. But in this, they gave you a trampoline that I can't seem to figure out. I think there is a timing to jump higher with it, but I haven't quite mastered that. So I don't think I'm going to be getting all the items in it. So I probably will not end up platinuming the game, but I would like to collect as much as I can, because you can unlock old Oswald cartoons and things like that. And that is always fun. It's nice to watch the old Oswald cartoons. I think there was even a Mickey cartoon I unlocked. I know I've unlocked two cartoons. I haven't unlocked the third one because I didn't quite get every film reel. But you can actually go back and replay some of the little cartoon levels where you collect the reels, so you can come back to it a little easier and you don't have to wander around. You can just jump straight in and play those levels, which is nice. So I'm probably going to do that to try to unlock all the cartoons. But overall, I'd say it was definitely worth it. I had to pay more than I would expect for something that's basically, it's not really a remake of the game. It is literally a rebrushing. So they brought it to a high definition and made it look good. I think they tried to do some stuff to tweak the sound, but they just made it look good for modern consoles. So I feel like I paid a lot more than I should have, but that's Disney for you. Also, I finally sat down, because it was part of the PlayStation membership that I'm on for PlayStation Plus. If you've ever heard of Doki Doki Literature Club, in Japan, they have different concepts of different games, and some are like, you know, dating sims, and there's visual novels. Well, this is a little bit of both, but I have been told many times or heard that it's a very disturbing game. So I started the Scare Play over at the Neverland Official Gaming Channel, where I do every year around October. I try to play Scare Play, and I try to play some scary games. I have played a little bit of Phasmophobia again, and that's up on the channel. And Doki Doki, I do have the entire playthrough of that. You have to go a bit of a ways. It's very cutesy and deals with some different mental illness type of things. that you get, you will have sympathy for the characters that are suffering from depression or whatnot. But it does warn you when you get into the game, if you are easily disturbed, don't play this. Because once you get to a certain part of the game, it does get very, very scary, very disturbing. And I think it was meant to be cleverly played on your normal PC, where the files that you can actually access to see some different secrets and interact with the game. Sometimes there's files that would be on your computer that are part of the game. But they called this the Doki Doki Literature Club Plus because they had to do a simulated computer screen for you to go and mess around with the game's files to see hidden messages and things like that and interact with the game and actually to complete the story. There's some action you need to take. But it has some puzzles in order to advance the story. You get stuck in certain areas once everything goes wrong. And it gives you little clues of what you need to go and do, usually within those hidden files. But overall, I did enjoy the experience. I'd spent a lot of time wondering, so when's the scary stuff going to happen? But you get to, you enjoy the characters. I did enjoy the characters. Well, at least two of them I enjoyed. One of them was kind of sour, but I want to explore that character a little bit more, maybe play around with it a little bit, because you can skip some dialogue and get to the points where you need to be. But if you're looking for something that will be free for you to play if you have a PlayStation, look into Doki Doki Literature Club for just a kind of a fun story that suddenly gets very scary and very disturbing as you get towards the end and you find out what's really going on. But that's what I have been reading and playing. And I might get a little news later with Philip. There has been some interesting things pop up. But, you know, I've tried to get away from news so much on this program and just have some fun. So we're going to, though. It won't be necessarily as fun, but hopefully we'll make y'all have a little smile as we remember some of the celebrities that have entertained us throughout the years on 80s television and films and even up through the 2000s and their contribution to entertaining us, and we'll relish their memories. So when we come back, you won't hear the cower sound. I'll be sitting in the church with Philip, and we'll talk about Dame Maggie Smith and John Amos and probably some other people, because I think some other people have passed, but those were the two that I think were significant, I think, to me.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages. And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
All right, so of course, now here we are with a good old Pastor Phil.
Hey!
And so, as I mentioned in the first half of the show, which I recorded actually while driving to work this morning, we've actually lost quite a few people over the last few weeks been quite impactful in our lives. And I've got just a few of them. For Dame Maggie Smith, now I do want to read what Daniel Radcliffe has posted.
Sure.
He says, the first time I met Maggie Smith, I was 9 years old reading scenes for David Copperfield, my first job. I knew little about her, except my parents were in awe. I also knew she was a dame, so I asked, would you like me to call you Dame? And she laughed and said, don't be ridiculous. Maggie had a fierce intellect, a sharp tongue, and could intimidate and charm simultaneously. She was, as everyone will attest, incredibly funny. I consider myself extremely lucky to have worked with her and shared time on set. The word legend is overused, but if it applies to anyone in our industry, it's Maggie. Thank you, yes. Maggie. He had posted that to his Instagram account. Now, I think the earliest thing I remember seeing Maggie Smith that I would have recognized, I think, was probably Hook, if not Sister Act.
Sister Act came out.
I think Sister Act might have been first. I should have looked that up.
Yeah, it was.
Because I remember seeing Sister Act, but I don't think it had much of the impact on me as in Hook when she was Granny Wendy.
I'd seen her before that even. I just can't remember what it was.
Clash of the Titans, but I didn't know who she was in Clash of the Titans.
I know she'd been in a few things. She was one of those faces you saw here and there.
Yeah. A lot of different things, especially in Britain. She did a lot of stuff. And then I even found footage of her being on the Carol Burnett show, singing a goofy song with Carol Burnett. I'm like, holy cow. So she was there.
She'd been around. It's just that here in America,
we didn't realize.
Especially, you know, we were watching probably your usual, you know, shows, but she would show up at once in a while on those kind of things.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I'll watch something that I'd watched back then, and I'll see her. I'm like, oh, hey, there she
it's
is.
Like, yeah, there she was.
No, but just, I loved her to death. And what she was on Hook.
Yeah.
She had
Granny
the heart.
Wendy. Yeah.
Loved her so much.
Gotta love her as Granny
you
Wendy.
You know what I love about her, no matter what it is, and I'll still think of other things later, but no matter what it is, she always seems like family. Because she reminded me so much of my aunts. And I had so many great aunts, wonderful aunts. They weren't always great aunts, although a lot of them were, meaning in relationship. But, you know, she reminded me of them and that in her personality.
Yeah.
So there are certain actors and actresses that they seem like family. Well, like James Earl Jones and those others that we've mentioned before.
Yeah.
When they go, you almost feel like you've lost family. Now, I'm sure I'm corny, very sentimental guy. Mm-hmm. I just am. And that's why I collect so many things I do. But it's like right here in my office, we have me in my church office. Yeah. I have a big mural of things.
Anyways,
my grandfather.
Getting back to being sentimental.
And I have Donna stuff because I'm a sentimental man.
Yeah.
And I believe with Maggie, every time I saw her on anything or even heard her, because I heard her voice sometimes on things. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she was just so good at bringing it home and feeling real.
Yeah.
When I finally saw her on Harry Potter, that was one of the things that made me, knowing her and Alan Rickman, people like that, that's what made it feel real to me.
Yeah, because she was great as McGonagall to be able to have that strictness, but yet that she had that Mary Poppins quality.
That's
as
it,
Professor
that's
McGonagall.
It, yes.
Could seem very, very strict, but have that little twinkle in the eye where she's going to make you stick to the rules, sort of, pretty much, but yet she's also got that little bit of, you know, carrying that little twinkle. And I love the fact that because she did have a great sense of humor. One of her best bits that I'll always will love is there in the final film when she gets to pull what I call the bed knobs or broomsticks maneuver and so, gets all the statues down and she gets over to Mrs. Weasley. I've always wanted to use that spell.
Yes.
I love that because that is just her entire charm.
That's another one, Angela Lansbury. They both had that.
Them in a movie together would have been great.
Oh, wow. That would have been amazing.
And maybe they did. We just didn't.
Who knows? They probably. Who knows? I say probably. They,
of course.
Know.
There, I think there was a bit of an age difference. I think Angela Lansbury might have been a little older,
probably.
But you know,
still,
they could
that
have done some classic because they did. You know, they were some classic films. Mm-hmm. I guess that she was in. There is one movie I got to share this because this is funny. I guess it was a Blockbuster back when that was a thing, and I was just looking for a movie to watch, and I come across this movie, and it had her in it, and Rowan Atkinson in it, and Patrick Swayze in it. It's a British movie called Keeping Mum, and I'm not recommending it.
I've heard of that.
I'm not recommending it, although there is some good stuff about it. It's, I we would say, ornery. And I've even found out since then, in Britain, you can be topless and not be 18. And there is some teenage 16-year-old nudity, actually, in the movie, unfortunately.
They had that with some Romeo and Juliet back in the day.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it was in there. I was like, oh, Keeping Mum. Well, I wonder what this is about. And I was like, oh, it's Rowan Atkinson, Owen, and Maggie Smith, and Patrick Swayze.
And
it's a weird comedy that has like some good, because Rowan Atkinson is supposed to be like the local pastor or vicar.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting kind of story that goes on there. But what it is Maggie Smith is this elderly serial killer. And she's working as the maid for this family. And the daughter's wild, and she's one. The mother catches her in the back of the van, and that's where you first get exposed. Second time she's exposed is Patrick Swayze is this creep who's always watching outside the window, which is a weird role for Patrick Swayze. But what happens if anybody who interferes with that family she doesn't like, they end up buried in the backyard, and no one suspects this little old lady who's just a sweet little old lady.
Why would you?
And so it's kind of this dark comedy. So I got appreciated some of the stuff, and also some of the lessons. Like Rowan Atkinson as a pastor, he's actually having a bit of a crisis of faith that he gets stronger in his faith by the end. So there's some different stuff, but it's just kind of funny when they find out. And the reason why it's called Keeping Mum is they find out the bodies of like Patrick Swayze, who was being a creeper, and when they find like his body or whatever in the backyard, they're like, actually, all these people were horrible people. I'm not saying anything.
Mum's the word.
Mum's the word. We're keeping mum about the fact that all these people are buried in the backyard because this
weird,
lady, this lovely lady that we've hired turned out she was a serial killer, but she's killing people that are hurting the family.
When I first saw her,
this is the weirdest movie I've seen her in, and I cannot recommend it because I didn't know it was an R-rated movie. I was just like, oh, look, it's Maggie Smith and Rowan Atkinson and Patrick Swayze. Oh, let me rent this.
First time I saw her, she reminded me a little bit of probably, you could say, the nicest, or one of the nicest characters, one of the fairy mothers of Sleeping Beauty. She reminded me of one of them. She just had that kind of niceness about her. And I was like, that's who she reminds me of, one of them.
She'd have been a great fairy godmother for Cinderella.
Oh, she would have been great. She would have been great.
And she might have been able to sing the song, as far as I know, because she could sing with Carol Burnett. So. But Maggie Smith, she would definitely be missed. But I remember a few years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was like, oh, my, and I, you know, just... Hang on, dear lady, but you know, I think that's probably what she finally died of. I didn't really look up the whole thing. I need to look up some other one, but I do want to, like, you know, pull up Kris Kristofferson, which, you know, for a long time I hadn't heard of him until HBO had a movie like the Hunter or something. He was supposed to be like this bounty hunter, some this old Western with Kris Kristofferson. And the only parts of I remember is some guy who's trying to ride with him. and they're sitting there over the fire. And this guy's just a real jerk. And he picks a fight with Kris Kristofferson while they're sitting around the fire. Kris Kristofferson whoops the guy. The guy throws up. And the other guy that's there with him is like, huh, you lost your dinner in the fight all in the same night. You know?
Oh, I remember, but, yeah.
But yeah, I cannot remember exactly the name of the movie. I think it was something with the hunter, but he was like a bounty hunter. They were tracking.
You're talking about Kris Kristofferson?
The Tracker. That's what it was called, The Tracker.
He was on Blade, the Blade movie.
Yeah, he was in Blade movies. But that's the first time I'd seen Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, I see.
I hadn't heard of him as a country singer, but I've now, of course, I've seen him on The Muppet Show and all that.
He's been on different movies back in the day. He'd be doing some Westerns with Johnny Cash sometimes, or Willie Nelson, and they would do Jesse James films and things like that. He was a good actor, but he was also a very good country singer. He had a gruff about him.
Yeah.
His eyes would almost hide in his head sometimes. His eyes would be so beady, but he was a very, very talented man. He had talent on both ends with music and with acting.
Yeah. Had a few different views. That's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to get into some of his views and stuff. No. I don't want to get to, because, yeah, there's definitely some stuff about him I would not have agreed with. I was trying to look up his career, like Wikipedia. I thought there'd be a list of some of the films he did. I didn't know him very much for his singing. I mainly had seen, oh my gosh, 1971, Janis Joplin, who had dated Kristofferson, had a number one hit with Me and Bobby McGee.
Mm-hmm.
From her posthumous album, Pearls. I didn't realize he had ever dated Janis Joplin. And I think some of his views were kind of more similar to her. He's not the typical Western guy like you would expect with like Clint Eastwood or John Wayne. But he was an entertaining person. And I only saw one of the... Oh, there's the filmography. Only one of the Blade films. Oh, the filmography is not really complete. And there goes my phone blinking at me because my blood sugar's a little high because I ate. Yeah, Kris Kristofferson, I don't know that he had quite the impact in my life as like some other people and everything, but I was like, oh, I remember him. And, you know, I remember him singing with Miss Piggy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the Muppet Show. But someone else now who passed away is John Amos, which I mainly am going to remember him probably from Good Times. When I was little, we used to watch that all the time.
He's from Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2, mm-hmm. Which is that surprise villain.
Yeah, he was on quite a few things, but every time I saw him, I'd always get sad because, bad as it sounds, every time I saw him, I always remember when I was a little kid, I thought he had died because of Good Times.
On Good Times, his character passed away. Yeah.
Finally, my dad had to get it through my head. He wasn't really gone, but I thought he was because, you know, I was little. I was very little when that happened. And I really liked him. I thought he was a very fine actor.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out exactly when it was, but he was a Kansas City Chief.
Yeah, I knew he'd been a football player. I guess I didn't realize that he was.
There it is. 1964, Amos signed a free agent contract with the Denver Broncos. Unable to run the 40-yard dash because of a pulled hamstring, he was released on the second day of training camp. He played for various sides during his career, the Canton Bulldogs, the Joliet Chargers, Norfolk Neptunes, Wheeling Ironmen, Jersey City Jets, Waterbury Orbits, and Victoria Steelers. In 1967, Amos signed a free agent contract with the AFL's Kansas City Chiefs. In 1967, awesome. Coach Hank Stram told him, "You're not a football player. You're a man who was trying to play football." I think that's what began his
acting career. And don't forget, Coming to America.
Yes. Yeah,
Coming to America. He was really great. He was the...
Not McDonald's.
And he got to do the second one, if I remember right. He was on that one,
I didn't watch the second one. I heard it was awful.
Oh, it was pretty good. It wasn't great. But the other thing he did, he was on Roots. And
I never did see that.
Yeah, and he did Maude, because Maude is where Good Times came from. Maude was, you know, a spinoff from All the Family. And Good Times was a spinoff for Maude.
Well, that's interesting.
Good times. Let's see if there's anything else here that he done.
Oh, there, it mentions films, music, and other TV roles. Of course, Roots has the adult Kunta Kinte. That's interesting. Mentions him being on Archie Bunker. Well, he was an Archie Bunker-style character in the 1994 sitcom 704 Hauser.
Oh, yeah,
modern spinoff of All the Family, but it was canceled after only 5 episodes.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't very good.
The only thing they had on there that I remember, I didn't never get to watch it, but the only thing I do remember was the little boy, I can't think of his name right now, supposed to be the grandson of Archie, came by on that one of those episodes. Little Stivic, I can't even say right now. But yeah, there was supposed to be another, that has nothing to do with that, but there was another spinoff that they were going to do of Archie Bunker in a retirement home, but he wasn't interested in doing it, and so that never happened. Then he died just a year later. So
Well, it popped up on Police Story, The A-Team, The Cosby Show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, I remember the Cosby Show.
Martin, Touched by an Angel, Psych, Sanford and Son, My Name is Earl, Lie to Me, and Murder, She Wrote. Also appeared as a spokesman for the Cochran Firm, a national personal injury law firm.
Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff.
Amos was featured in Disney's The World's Greatest Athlete with Tim Conway
and Michael
Vincent. I don't think I've seen all of that.
I saw it at the movie theater when I was a kid.
Wow. And also starred as Kansas City Mac in Let's Do It Again with Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier. Oh, hey, there you go. Sidney Poitier. That's some caliber there, man. The Beastmaster. I forgot he was Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Right. Dance of the Dwarves, American Flyers, Coming to America, of course. Die Hard 2, Two Evil Eyes, Ricochet, Lock Up. Appeared in the 1995 film For Better or Worse and played a police officer in The Players Club. There's a lot of Dr. Dolittle 3. I didn't realize they got a third one. Madea's Witness Protection, Natural Born Killers. That's a Dr. Dre video there.
Natural Born Killers. I see.
He appeared in Ice Cube and Dr. Dre's video. Oh, okay. It was both of them.
I have no idea what this is.
Album of Original Country Songs by Gene and Eric Cash. He released it. We Were Hippies.
There's a movie. It looks to me like it's probably a straight to either cable or video, but it's a 1983 Dance of the Dwarfs.
Yeah, I read that off. I thought, that is weird, wild stuff. I'm going to jump over to the Facebook group to see who else has passed that I want to make sure. I don't remember if we did a full tribute for James Earl Jones. I think I did one on my own.
Yeah, we did. We talked about it.
And we talked about it on, by the way, I hadn't mentioned in the, of course, I have mentioned it, but make sure you're checking out Watching Movies with My Pastor. That is available now to download. We have watched three movies, released three episodes. We'll hopefully by the end of the week get a chance to watch. I think we need to watch a particular Halloween type of thing, which I will not spoil here. We will get it out there. It'll be the fourth episode. I'm still aiming to get some Spider-Man in there eventually, but there's something else I want to spoil. Oh, there is a little bit of news I wanted to bring up real quick before I forget. Star Wars episode with Jedi Power Battles is coming as a re-release, by the way, which is a game that didn't make any sense to me because it was trying to be like a Double Dragon style beat 'em up. But when you hit somebody repeatedly with a lightsaber, you would think one hit would do it. But I had it on the PlayStation. But anyways, you had a thought.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, I was just now looking at this. One of his sons is Kelly Christopher. He named him that, so they call him KC.
Oh, nice.
I think it's kind of cool.
Oh, Heather, I wasn't going to do any news, but I'm passing by stuff. And like the big deal that Henry Cavill is going to star in Voltron for Amazon MGM.
Thought that's awesome.
So I don't know what they're going to do with a Voltron. So I don't trust Hollywood anymore.
No, me either. These things, I say that, but I'm still going to want to see it. I got a figure.
I'm ordered. Still going to wind up going to want to watch it.
I've ordered a figure recently of Voltron. It wasn't cheap, but I want a really good. They even have a little people thing of that coming out, Voltron. But
people are starting to make some serious stuff to make some money.
Here's the thing you're going to like, Jeremy. Not only are they the cute little fat characters, right? But they all come in boxes that look like the lions, but they all come together.
Oh, to make fun. Voltron. Well, I'm trying. Oh, here's something that was just kind of this a random thing, but did you see the video I posted where Karen Carpenter, I didn't realize that she was one heck of a drummer.
Yes, that's how she started.
Woo, yeah, she was a Carpenter band. She was playing
started,
the drums.
But she started that way, and they said, and this is what I remember because it was on the movie, that what they said, because, of course, obviously, it's going to get my attention. They said, but how do you get Linus away from his blanket? And that was their little illustration of how are we going to get her away from the drums.
Oh, yeah, here's the other guy who was Cassie. He was somebody who was Tom Holland's understudy over at West End. It's Daniel Quinn Toy, and he's got a starring role in Voltron. Man, where's the other people who passed away? Well, I guess it's about all I'm managing to find, but I wanted to make sure we paid some tribute to some of these people that really, kind of had meant some stuff to us, especially Dame Maggie Smith. She's, came along later in my life and everything, but she's popped up in a lot of some of my favorite stuff. And so I definitely wanted to say something about that. But I really cannot seem to find all the other people who passed away that I wanted to say something about. But I think that's probably about covers it, though. I mean, really, this was a heck of a month. We had, the one guy who played a cop, I forgot the guy's name, in Beverly Hills Cop, passing away.
Oh, I love him.
He was a producer on Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Watts.
Yes.
Passed away at 86. Ken Page, there we go. I knew there was something I really had to get to. Although Ken Page, I really only know him from two roles, from playing the crocodile in All Dogs Go to Heaven, and of course, Mr. Oogie Boogie and The Nightmare Before Christmas. He had such a performance singing style. He just was such a character the way he performed.
And I'm sure he was a big star probably on Broadway before that. I mean, he just had style, the way he could sing a character.
Yeah, he was great.
He was just a bigger than life personality. You could tell from the way he played those characters. Pete Rose passed away.
Yes, Pete Rose. You know, I'm really hoping they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. He paid his dues, man.
Yeah.
He paid his dues.
And I remember hearing about him before the game. But he wasn't a Royal, so I wasn't really paying attention to him back in the day.
I remember he was on a Chocolate is Scrumptious when it crunches.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why I love Nestle Crunch. And he showed him with that. He was a big name. That guy was one of the best ever.
Oh, and it was just controversial. And I can't remember the details of his gambling thing, but it wasn't even that major of a thing.
Yeah.
Now it'd be perfectly fine for him to do that. But of course, you wouldn't want somebody trying to fix the game by gambling on it.
No.
Even though we allow people to be in Congress who can fix things in the stock market by what they're passing, and they all
that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. John Ashton was the Beverly Hills Cop guy.
Yeah.
And he was, I loved him. I'm so thrilled that he was in the recent Beverly Hills Cop. He got to do that because, he wasn't in the third one, and the third one was terrible. But what he was in, it's one of my favorites. It's not a great film, but I somehow love it because I saw it on a day where I really needed a good movie, and that was Trapped in Paradise. And he was really great in that movie. He played this guy who worked at, I guess you could call it a convenience store, but he was just kind of a annoying guy. He was so good in that role. That's why he wasn't in Beverly Hills Cop
3. I think you've told me about that movie. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever watched it. Wasn't it like Dana Carvey? And
It's got... Dana Carvey, it's got Nicolas Cage, it's got John Lovitz. It's a fun movie.
And they're supposed to, like, they rob somewhere and they're trying to get away brothers. And they're stuck.
They're brothers. And what happens is the two brothers, I'm talking about John Lovitz and Dana Carvey, are thieves and they're pathological liars and all this. And Nicolas Cage does nothing wrong ever. And their mother, who's she was the lady who played the judge on My Two Dads.
She popped up a lot of different things.
Anyway, she's their mom. So it's perfect, right? And they're from New York, of course. So they heard about this wonderful town, this guy who's in prison. He's dying, and he needs to send this letter to his daughter. So anyway, they go down there, and I won't tell you the whole thing if you ever watch it.
Do you have a copy of
that? Oh, yeah. I just was looking at it yesterday.
This may be one of the ones eventually we're going to have to watch on watching and movies with you faster.
It didn't last very long in the theater, but it came out on Christmas, and it's a Christmassy movie. So it's one of those I oftentimes watch it in November, maybe in January, because it's one of those, it's not a Christmas movie, but it happens at Christmas, so it's very Christmassy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, it's fun. It's got a lot of great actors in it, tremendous actors.
All right, we'll put that onto the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I figure that's about everybody I had to pay tribute to. I'm going to go ahead and wrap
Tito
this
Jackson.
Up. Tito Jackson? What?
He died? I don't know when. I just looked up people who died recently, and it showed Tito Jackson.
I thought he had passed away a long time ago.
Maybe, but it says age 70. I'm not sure. Maybe they've got stuff on here. Said, of course, James Earl Jones said a couple others here that mentioned it. Mentioned John Amos, who we just mentioned. Yeah. Rapper Rich Homie, which I don't know who that is.
I don't care. I'm done, though. I'm going to wrap this up.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, so I don't have my notes directly in front of me. Oh, wait, I can pull my notes up right here where I usually remember to wrap everything up because, of course, I want to remind y'all to go to Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis's business. If you happen to have a podcast, he will get your reviews to you. And I actually got an email with a review for watching movies with my pastor that has arrived just this week. So make sure on Podgagement, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, I have a link right there on Podgagement that you can sign up for your account and you get a little benefit will come to me, and it does help pay for the show. And of course, Dubby, there's a big logo for Dubby. You'll find that one right there. If you're a gamer and you want a good energy drink that's not going to give you the jitters, Dubby is the drink for you. They have lots of different drink powders. You can even get yourself a nice, fun Dubby cup. You just mix it with some water and drink it up. It's got a lot of good vitamins and things in there. Not going to give you the jitters, just a good healthy amount of energy. Also, if you want to help support the show, become a patron on Patreon or on Red Circle. You can become an exclusive member amongst the Patreon and the exclusive. You will not get ads in the middle of the show other than what you're hearing me say right now, but you won't have those interruptive ads. Also, there will be bonus content inside the same Patreon support that you give to this show. Also, we'll have episodes of Watching Movies with My Pastor that you can have more of a watch along. It'll be the full length of the film, and you'll be able to just very faintly hear what we're watching. I'm making sure I'm keeping that in the sound mix so you can watch along with us. All that will be available for our Patreon members Also, you can become an exclusive member for Watching Movies with My Pastor separately to hear that as well. And of course, it does help out the show to help me pay for the show, and I do appreciate you. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for their help in making our introduction. Of course, you can email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter or X at NeverlandPcast. Find us on Facebook, Neverland Podcast. There is, of course, a group and a fan page. I recommend joining, you know, the group, because we get to interact a lot more. It's a lot easier for me to post and share fun things. Of course, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you can join the Neverlanders. Become a Lost Boy or Pixie. Why do we have Pixies, Phil?
Because I can't remember.
Because girls are too clever. They don't get lost.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. But you need to choose yourself a nickname. We haven't had any new members to our ranks in a while like that. At least I haven't gotten an email over it. And of course, as we say at the end of every episode, get lost. In an adventure. And we'll see you next time.